What is love? Baby, don't hurt me. Don't hurt me no more.
It's Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas.
Five o'clock hours here. Cofield and Company. Chrissy, Adam, Cofield. Every Wednesday, just about every Wednesday, we're going to be joined by one of our old pals, John Von Tobel.
Cool. I get a day?
We're working on it, right?
JVT day.
Why not? Wednesday and Friday can be VSiN radio. Why not, right? We do that at 6 o'clock with William Hill on Friday, so you're in. We have the Big Five on the way. Today's been weird. It's been a very disjointed show.
It has. I think it's the temperature.
I think it's throwing us off. Yes. And you got yelled at last night.
I did.
Which, I guess, know what's funny? The none of your business line dropped by Gerard Gallant on you. A lot of the other media, I guess, just let it roll off. So you guys are glutton for punishment.
Well, it's also,
I guess I can't get mad.
It's becoming a thing because there was a sign at practice today.
Yeah.
Now there's people creating memes and like cups of tea that are none of your business. Like, okay, this is ridiculous.
Battle Born Injury Lawyers presents the Big Five at Five. Number five.
So, John, you got big Valentine's Day plans coming up tomorrow?
You know, we were actually just talking about this before I left.
Wait, what?
No, I don't.
Who was talking about it?
What, me and the mother of my child?
Oh, you talk about it?
I mean, kind of.
We thought it was supposed to be a surprise.
No, not really.
Why are you looking at me weird, Chrissy? I'm not telling the SO what I'm doing. It's going to happen.
I didn't think that you were going to be doing anything,
I'm actually with you. I didn't think you were capable of showing love.
I don't know why we continue to show shock that I am a holiday person.
Good for you.
I just picture like a happy Valentine's Day.
Like half asleep on the couch with like one hand like.
I guess you're all right.
Down my pants? Is that what you're just doing?
Yeah, I was going to say that, but oops.
Well, good for you. I'm glad at a young age, very early in your relationship, that you're talking about these things.
Well, it wasn't like, hey, let's go out to this restaurant or whatever. It was more like, you want to have dinner? Yeah, maybe. Okay, cool.
Aww.
Informal.
Yeah.
Oh.
I've got a kid to worry about, too. So.
Well, I've had this super awesome plan that I'm planning out that for the next 3 days,
don't give
Friday.
It away.
No, like we're in on it. Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, three different babysitters. So we have like three straight
Better
days.
Better around?
Look at that.
Now, is that because people get sick of the baby quickly?
Well, I don't want to impose. You know what I mean? And my parents are divorced, so it's like bam, bam, and then
two different babysitters.
Yeah, exactly, right? So you don't use up one source.
I like it.
It's been like that now with Christmas. I get two Christmases, and now I get two babysitters.
So you can see what we're setting up here. You have a happy life. I have a happy life. Chrissy, I'm sure, is going to have a bang-up day tomorrow. Poor Adam, though. Poor Adam. I just read on Sunday. Oh, that's a good point. You have your hockey game.
We have the night game.
But I just read on Sunday that you spent all day Sunday alone watching five movies.
First of all, when did it say alone? And
also,
right, I don't know where it's coming from, but also I was writing. I don't like it's not a big deal. I had stories to write. And I had movies on in the background, so it's not.
That's not the way you wrote the tweet.
Right. The tweet was more of a joke about the weather.
Yeah, I'm not going to go out. I think I'm going to watch my fifth movie of the day.
That was a joke about the weather.
What'd you watch?
I actually was watching The Sandlot when I was writing a story.
Okay.
And then I was still writing it, and then Hangover 3 started. So I was like, yeah, you know what? I'm going to keep this on. And by the way, much, much better than I remembered. And I think it's criminally underrated because Hangover 2 was not good.
Mm-hmm.
And so people were like, I don't want to like Hangover 3, but Hangover 3 is incredible. After that, The Heartbreak Kid started, which I didn't remember how many good lines were in that either. It's a Ben Stiller movie where he meets another girl on his honeymoon in Cabo. That was great.
The Heartbreak Kid.
That's what I just said.
Yeah,
are you
I'm
hooked
saying,
by any
great.
Of this, John?
No. I don't even know how many movies
Sandlot?
You just,
but it was really just... Yeah. So I was still watching it, and I was finished writing, and I was on my way to the office, and somebody at the office posted a picture of like a sprinkle of snow. What's it? What would that be? Flurries.
A dusting.
It'd be flurries
I
or
think
dusting.
Dusting is better. Yeah.
And I was like, I'm not gonna go in there anymore. It's a blizzard. But then I just went in there anyway. I was just being creative with the tweet.
I experienced a snow day out here in Las Vegas.
So did I.
Yeah, it was 2009. It was 2009, my senior year, so it was 2009.
Yeah, it was a while ago, but it was great.
We got a full inch.
No, yeah. No. Oh,
That's
legit.
I remember my lawn was covered. It was solid.
I had to dig my car out. It was a UNLV basketball game that night.
You had to dig your car. I don't know if it's that big.
My house is at higher elevation in Southern Highlands.
Understandable.
So it was a little worse. But yeah, I literally had to get a shovel, dig my car out. The neighbor had one, thank goodness. I had to dig the car out. Go. Yeah, that was a good snowstorm. What happened Sunday was not.
It's anticlimactic.
I wanted to run this one by you on the movie theme. What if I take the SO?
Ooh.
Valentine's Day night.
To a movie?
To go see
Touché.
A Star is Born.
Oh, boy. Is it still out?
Yeah, that's my first. Okay. So there's two issues with that. One, it's extremely cliche to do the movie on Valentine's Day.
Is it?
It's also incredibly depressing.
And then the other thing is, you're taking her to see a movie that's been out. It's one of those movies that's been out for so long, it has like two show times. And that's about it at the box office?
Well, let's put that that complication aside.
I think
is it a bad movie to watch on Valentine's Day?
I
think it's a terrible idea. He's going to be depressed and miserable afterwards. Why don't you sit around and watch Abducted in Plain Sight?
We already did that one.
Scare
do
her.
It again.
Scare her really, on Valentine's
Ted Bundy
Day.
Tapes are pretty
really
good.
Soak it in. Yeah, the Ted Bundy tape one was good, too. Or You.
I didn't.
Oh, yeah.
I like You. We watched that one.
Really? It's that depressing?
To me, I don't know if it's just me or everyone, it was brutal.
Chrissy, yes. You saw it?
Yeah, it's not. It's exactly what I thought was going to happen.
Yeah, you're.
Stop bragging.
You're just emotionally unstable, man. I got it together.
No, that's true.
I can go watch that movie.
Go ahead. Enjoy.
We talked about the song yesterday.
Yeah.
I watched some of it today. I didn't want to, you know, ruin it. By the way, one more thing I got to bring up. Poor Bradley Cooper. I never watched the video of him showing up at Lady Gaga's show. He can't sing.
I thought he was fine.
No. In the movie, he's fine. It's all digitally changed up.
He learned how to sing for the movie.
No, Adam.
I'm sure he learned as best he could.
Guys, I will send you a video of him singing. Someone in the crowd, he's decent.
Well,
that's embarrassing, though, being brought up, and then you have to do the opening, you're cracking, and you're all nervous, and then she belts out the rest of the song. I felt bad for him.
Yeah, I mean, he's not good for a singer.
I got some karaoke places, Bradley Cooper, you can show off and you'll be okay there, but not in front of, 5,000 people.
But he's good for an actor that's trying to sing.
I guess. I thought he was set up to fail. But, I grade voices
He's had a
very much a stickler on singing.
He's had a tough life, so it's, sad that he's failing yet again.
It's been rough.
Number 4.
Hashtag ref show last night, or did you just turn into, again, a blubbering mess because it was John Beilein who may have been on the wrong end of the officiating.
Well, I was more angry with the Kentucky game. But
so what happened? Take us through both games.
So in the Michigan game, first of all, I was misled by a tweet of what Beilein actually got kicked out for. John Beilein got kicked out of a game for the first time in nearly 40 years. The last time he got kicked out of a game was the 1969-70 season when he was at Erie Community College. In Orchard Park, New York.
And just so you know, John Beilein is one of the top five coaches in all of sports.
Three.
Top three.
In my opinion, yeah.
It turned into a whole argument last night.
Oh, yeah. And Ohio State fans just going berserk. I don't even know how that got picked up on Ohio State Twitter, but they were loving that.
And then someone sent Adam a Coach K is in that top three.
It's
and
the
then
most ridiculous all, thing I've
all
ever
hell
heard.
Broke
I mean,
loose.
Did you see the comeback last night?
Yeah, he did it with inferior talent. He somehow found a way to scheme a victory. Good for him. What?
And
I've done it so many times.
This scheme was just
they know nothing. He is clueless.
This scheme was just play zone
coach.
Defense.
Completely clueless. He is a fantastic recruiter by bending, breaking every rule.
Bending his
man,
knee?
Allegedly. Yes. He brings in talent. Good for him. If it's scheme, as I said. Everybody has different criteria for coaches. My criteria for coaches is you have two teams of amorphous blobs. Who coaches them to a victory? That's what I'm taking. And recruiting is a different animal. There's a lot of things about running programs, everything else. There's just two sets of blobs. Who's the better coach to scheme them? John Beilein will beat everybody at every day at everything. No question. But in this case, yeah, I would love to see Duke play games with equal talent to other teams and see what their record is. It would be atrocious. But in this game last night, John Beilein, who never gets kicked out of games, never gets worked up. There had been a bunch of missed calls. He saw a pick that was set on the final play of the first half that essentially was, it was, remember the Colorado State, New Mexico one a couple years ago that created a fight after the game with the player and the coaches outside because it was such an egregious moving screen? Yesterday, there was like the hit in the AAF game the other day on the quarterback. That happened to a defensive player.
Berkovici?
That happened to a defensive player on the last play of the first half. And, you know, it's a scramble drill when you're trying to set up a play. But there was a tackle, a moving screen, and then Penn State ended up making a three. He was livid with good reason. That should have been prosecuted, not called a foul. It should have been a court matter. That's insane, and he got livid. But then again, they missed another call in the second half where a guy gets a rebound, dribbles it, sets his feet, looks around, holds the ball, and then decides to dribble it again to shoot a turnaround jumper, and they didn't call a double dribble. Those guys don't need to be reffing games again, just like the ones that were in Kentucky last night where LSU gets a tip by tipping the ball that's sitting on the rim back into the net. They review it to see if it beat the buzzer, which it did, but you can't review for goaltending, so I actually feel somewhat bad for these guys who had to go look at the replay, and as soon as they watch it, go, "Oh my God, we messed up. Now what do we do?" And there's no recourse.
Well, I think that's probably so. Hashtag ref show to an extent in the Michigan game. I agree. The first time I saw that play, I didn't realize, and then they had the court end view, and I was like, okay, that guy got mugged. But when it came to the Kentucky game, their hands were tied because they couldn't review it.
Right.
And it's on the same night where you have the end of the
game. Right, but that live was an easy call too, though. I mean, goaltending is usually a tough call. That was a really easy one live, and I agree. When they got to the monitor, and they were like, "Oh no, what are we gonna do? We just blew this call completely, and there's nothing we can do about it on the replay."
I mean, my takeaway from last night was, and you juxtapose it with what had in the end at the Duke game, where you have a charge call, right, or a block charge call with the heel in the restricted area.
Yeah.
They can go back and review. They can review that, but you can't review what happened at the end of the Kentucky game. And that was my takeaway, was that at some point you have to fix what's going on with replay review in college basketball. And it's a slippery slope, and you review everything. That was my takeaway from last night after watching both of those.
But the crazy part about that, and as much as I hate Duke, that was a block. Like, it should have been called a block. That was not a charge. But they called it a charge incorrectly and then went to the review and they got to change the call, but they couldn't review the original call. So, and in the end, it was probably right. But it's just another example of refs being horrific. They are terrible. Something needs to be done about fixing it.
But when it's a sport like basketball, where it's so fast, it's so quick. Plays like that are so bang bang, where I can understand wanting to get younger guys who are a bit more impressive in terms of what they can see out there on the floor. But you're always going to have these kind of mistakes.
At the very minimum, if you don't want to say you can review everything or whatever, I think you should. Mm-hmm. At the very minimum, if you review for anything, you should be able to look at everything that happened on that play. Like, if you're going there to say, was he in the circle, in the charge block circle? Okay, we can also determine whether it was a block or a charge based on this. Same with, okay, we're going to check if the shot beat the buzzer. We can also check if it's goaltending just because we're going to look at it on the monitor. Because the other thing you have, we talked about this all the time, there used to be a thing in basketball, and there still kind of is, where, all right, there's a foul on the play, but we're going to ignore the foul. We're just going to give them the ball out of bounds. But now with replay, you can review whether it's out of bounds but not a foul. So you have referees saying, I'm not going to call the foul. It's just your ball possession. And then you go to the monitor and you're like, oh, no, we have to give them the ball too, even though they committed a foul because they clearly hit it out of bounds and we're not allowed to review that part of it. If you go to the monitor, you can review all aspects of the play. That should be the rule.
I would agree.
Number three.
Always time for ref talk on Cofield and Company.
I don't like ref talk. Just obsessed with it.
Kyler Murray drafted by the Cardinals. Josh Rosen moves to the Patriots.
Oh.
It seems ridiculous, but we keep reading about it. I'm starting to get scared. And the Cardinals are being really weird. One, Cliff Kingsbury came out and again said, hey, Rosen's my guy.
Oh, no.
Who believes Cliff Kingsbury at this point?
Nobody.
After what he did to USC. And then Bidwell, the owner, is talking about, hey, we like this foundation. We're going to build with this. Why are they even commenting?
Of course. And this is, by the way, you moved on from Wilkes like that. Like, you've already shown that you're going to have an itchy trigger finger with your head coach. Why not with a kid who threw 11 touchdowns to 14 picks and doesn't look anything near like the guy that you might get with Kyler Murray? More mobile, more in the scheme of what you've seen now with the quarterbacks coming around. And I'm with you. That's a great point. Kingsbury, he just dipped on USC. Of course he's going to sit here right now and say, oh, he's my guy.
But I think the issue is here. I think they're going to take criticism for it, and probably rightfully so, because it's pretty crazy. If you do have the guy, if you identify the guy that, hey, he's our guy, I think teams should do this. I think far too often teams are like, well, we drafted a quarterback last year. We're going to have to keep building around him. Even if you look around and say, yeah, we made a huge mistake. Mm-hmm. And too often teams are like, well, we can't do that again. We can't draft another quarterback in the first round. Why? If you picked the wrong guy and you didn't do a good job of it, and you've seen that he's not going to be the guy, move on. Now, in this case, I think Rosen can be better. I think he has better days ahead, and I don't think Kyler Murray is a slam dunk guy at number one. So I don't think this is the right case to make the argument for. But I do think teams need to be more open to saying, hey, just because we took a guy last year doesn't mean we can't take a guy in the first round. I've said that. I think the Bills should take a quarterback in the first round. I think they absolutely should if they have got the guy on the board that they want. Obviously, they've got a guy that can't complete a pass, so why wouldn't they? But in the Cardinals' case, I just don't think Kyler Murray's the right one.
I still think it's too quick, right? Like, I can understand maybe after two seasons or something, but just to watch him under one season, under a coaching staff that I think a lot of people would agree wasn't the greatest coaching staff, especially offensively, to then punt on this kid after one season is a little unfair. And on top, like, you see it a lot of times in sports, and like basketball is a different sport because these guys are so much younger. But look at what D'Angelo Russell's doing with the Nets, right? Yeah. Like, the Lakers punted on him, thought he was going to be a bust, and then now with the Nets, he's actually turned into an all-star and looks like a halfway decent player. And the worry is that you trade him to the evil empire and the Patriots, they get to develop him for the next 4 years, and then all of a sudden, and he's slinging 35 touchdowns.
4 years?
Yes.
4 more years of Brady?
Yes. He wants to play until he's 45.
No, I think
you're not allowed on the show anymore. Why would you do that? You know that's a soft spot on the show.
I think you're absolutely right. I don't think the Cardinals is the right case to make this for, because I think Rosen deserves more time and Kyler Murray's not a slam dunk. But I just think teams need to be more open about cutting their ties. And the D'Angelo Russell is a different case, too. I mean, he had to go because of all the craziness off the court and with Swaggy P, too.
Of course.
I mean, that was an issue of like, oh, no, we need to cut ties with him.
But do you think if they knew that they were going to get this version of D'Angelo Russell because of what happened with Swaggy P, they were going to let him go regardless? Right? Like, if they knew he was going to develop into this, I think they'd get over that pretty quick.
Yeah, I think definitely they would have.
So it goes back to, is he worth trying to develop and not punting after one season?
Number two.
I wonder how many people around the country, Adam, were saying what we were saying a couple years ago about John Elway.
That he's an idiot?
Yep.
Oh, my God.
Because I'm wrong all the time.
Of course.
But it's another one of those cases when we threw it out there, we got a lot of pushback. Because Broncos fans love John Elway. And we started telling you, the guy doesn't know what he's doing. He stepped in it, you know, recruiting well to get Peyton Manning. He went for broke and got some star defensive players to bolster that defense. They got it done, but he has no idea what he's doing from a personnel standpoint. They're in a hole, and they just decided to fix their quarterback issue by picking up Joe Flacco. They already have $25 million committed last year and this year to Case Keenum. They have $28 million in quarterbacks on their roster when Flacco comes over.
Without having any plan for the future either. It's not like you have a high-priced guy and then like a top pick waiting behind him.
He's the dummy who picked Paxton Lynch.
Yep.
They also, you know, took a chance on Chad Kelly.
That worked.
That's their guy.
Yeah. But they now have Flacco and Keenum on a team that needs to be rebuilding. And you know, Mike Pritchard came on with us a couple weeks ago, and he laid it out beautifully. John Elway, I don't think John Elway believes he's going to be there. He's not going to be fired. I think John Elway's going to walk in like 3 years. So he wants to win now, and they're not in a win-now position. And if you want to win now, why would you pick up Joe Flacco? Everyone in the league knows he's making ridiculous money, and he's completely on the downside. Even though he's 34, he's not one of the all-time greats. These guys playing to 38, 39, 40, 41 years old. He's not good.
No, he's not good, but I do think if you have a team that's a quarterback away, that you need a serviceable quarterback to help you,
yes,
I think he's fine.
Oh, yeah, he is, but you got to renegotiate the deal. They're not going to renegotiate any of this. He's owed $19, $21, and $22 million over the next 3 years.
But
that has to be part of the deal.
No, it does, but I think it's also a case of fooling yourself. I don't know what planet the Broncos feel that they're just a quarterback away.
Oh, it's all the coach.
Like what are they trying to do here? Because clearly what they're saying is, hey, we've got a window of like two more years. We've got to try to do what we can in these 2 years. That's not the situation this team is in. That's insane to me. That they're so foolish about what their status is right now that they're going to do this. This doesn't even make them the best team in their division.
They're still the third best team in their division. The West game, Cornegay headed up on Twitter. They moved their odds 60-1 to 60-1. There's no change whatsoever with Joe Flacco.
Maybe 59.5-1.
Right? Yeah. And the thing that drives me nuts is, think about what you just saw in that division this year. You saw the Chargers offensively actually somewhat take off. You saw what the Chiefs did and how they play offense. And now you're going to bring in Joe Flacco to get in some shootouts with the Kansas City Chiefs and the Chargers for the next three seasons?
It's preposterous. Again, I think there's teams. I'm trying to think who.
Jacksonville
last year. I don't know if they're still in that position.
Panthers. Renegotiate a deal. Panthers in for Cam Newton. If Cam Newton's going to miss the year, then I'll take Joe Flacco for a year.
Yeah.
But I'm not taking him at $20 million a year for the next two guaranteed and a third year.
Especially a team that doesn't have a backup plan. Like, again, with the Panthers example, sure, if Cam Newton's going to miss this year and you need, hey, we need you to play 1 year, see what you can do for us, and then we're going back to Cam Newton. Or, you know, in a case of like a Jacksonville of draft, you want to draft a young quarterback and then bring in Flacco to be the guy, and then as soon as he's done, the young guy comes in. The Broncos don't have any succession plan. It's just like, hey, Flacco, come on in here. And then we've also got Case Keenum, who's going to be 34 by the time you're done, too.
Throw the New York Giants, right? He's actually got a big arm. He can actually use a guy like Odell Beckham Jr., Eli Manning. If he's still there, right? But, I mean, part of the issue with Eli Manning has been the arm strength and the fact that he doesn't have any downfield passing. That's going to be something, too, that they can use him for.
Yeah, they are not the right team to try this. They're just not.
Number one.
Back to our Golden Knights. We talked a lot about VGK at the start of the show. Lose again last night. That's 0-2 on this very pivotal homestand. They have 8 of 9 at home. We expect today 14, 15 points. Things are going to get rolling here. You're comfy at the Fortress. So far, it hasn't happened. They've been disastrous in the third period. Here was Gerard Gallant after the game as he was talking about some of the issues.
You know, we keep taking penalties, and, you know, it hurts you. We kill both of them, but last moment, and your top players are killing penalties, and then you try and get back. And like I said, it was 2-2 game, and all of a sudden we try and get cued again and start making drop passes and passes through the slot and turn over, and then they go the other way and odd man rushes. So,
hey, what's the deal on the drop passes?
I mean, it's kind of, for lack of a better term, it's a kind of a fancy play. It's just more, hey, there's a guy trailing, you kind of drop it back to him. It does put you in a tough position. There's a high chance of a turnover, and you really trigger a rush if those aren't successful. I mean, they can work for you, but it is more of a, as Gerard Gallant said, acute play.
Gallant, by the way.
I know.
I mispronounced it. Gallant.
I can't do it.
Gallant.
I just can't. I don't think I'll ever get there.
Is it like the Tyrod thing?
Yeah, but he really is Tyrod. We've all been saying Gallant for 2 years. It's Gallant, but I can't do it.
Gallant brought it even stronger in the back end of this comment as, does he call them soft? Pretty damn close.
We got 40-some shots. I didn't like the way we played. I thought we played about 10 minutes real good hockey tonight. There was no passion in our game. There was no aggressive forecheck in our game. We played a soft game, and in my opinion, we gave them 3 goals from our mistakes, not from what they deserve. And they're good. They played well. I give them credit, but when you're going to give them 3 goals like that, you're not going to win many games.
So they played a soft game.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't call them soft necessarily.
What's going on?
I mean, he clearly wasn't happy with their effort yesterday. Was not happy with the third period at all. And it's been a recurring theme. I think I referenced this stat earlier. Last 8 games, they've been outscored 13-3 in the third period. That's not what their identity has been. They were, you know, a team that was kind of dominating the third periods. And Marc-Andre Fleury talked about that and said, we were a third period team, and now we're just not. And they need to fix it. It's not good right now.
So it's a mix of maybe some fatigue, especially with Fleury. You think possibly a lack of urgency because they're kind of stuck in that middle zone in the playoffs. Can't move up, really can't get caught from behind, although, you know, they could if this continues.
Yeah. Yeah.
So there's a little complacency. And Nate Schmidt told you that essentially they're missing an edge, right?
Yeah.
They need guys to get them going, or somehow they have to get a little more force from within. I'm going to bring it up again. They made a decision to get rid of one of their emotional engines. It's still backfiring, is it not?
It
Who
is.
Am I referencing?
James Neal.
Yep.
And James Neal.
And most VGK fans were like, you know, we're fine. You know, hey, Patches, Stastny, they're here, right? Yeah. And early in the season, there were some whispers like, you know what? That guy was a ball buster, but maybe it's something he needed. Maybe it's a little too cohesive, a little too nice in the locker room.
And we referenced last night, Gerard Gallant went into the locker room and lit them up after the game. That's something that James Neal probably does on his own.
Yep.
And probably does it way before last night. Now
we're approaching what? Are we approaching 60 games now in the season? And they still haven't figured it out.
Not that nobody has. I think, you know, I talked to Alex Tuck about this about a month and a half ago. And he almost, I wouldn't say took offense, but he was like, he's like, people keep saying this, that, you know, we don't have that guy to step up and be that, you know, that sandpaper that kind of roughs things up a little bit. But we have that. Like, you guys don't see it, but we have that. We do that.
Okay.
And I don't know if they do, but, you know, he said they do. And, you know, last night, Gerard Gallant felt they needed to hear it. But here's the thing with James Neal. And people point out he's not having a great season. They're like 4 or 5 goals, something like that. He's not having a great year. But what happened to Calgary? They're really good.
Team seems pretty good.
What happened to Vegas last year? They went to the Western Conference Final. Excuse me, they went to the Stanley Cup Final. They won the Western Conference with him. What happened the year before that? He went to the Stanley Cup Final with Nashville. Like, he's just a guy, whether you like him or don't, or whether he's producing or not, he's something. He's a presence in the locker room. There's no question.
It's like any job, right, John?
Yeah, that's right.
You got to have someone who's going to bust jobs. It's going to bring an edge.
We don't have anybody here.
Everyone might hate him. Let's go to break. Chrissy's just staring at me like, you mother. It's yeah, they're struggling, man. They're struggling right now, the Golden Knights. Fleury's getting tired.
He's an old man.
It's not, well, he's not an old man.
34.
But it's not working to this point.
The crazy part is, as we've talked about,
and by the way, I think Gallant won't say it. I think that's part of his frustration, which I also wonder if, do you think he's a little frustrated with his boss? Have you heard anything on that front? Like, I wonder if Gerard has gone to McPhee and he's like, come on! I told you!
I think they have the kind of relationship where they kind of go at each other.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think they hold back. I think they go at each other.
Yep.
So, I think that's healthy and helpful. Last year it certainly worked. You know, I don't know that they had the greatest relationship. I don't know that they have a bad relationship. That's not what I'm saying.
Right.
I think they're both, even though you don't see it with McPhee ever, he's like the quietest, closest to the vest guy. He's very fiery behind the scenes, and so is Gallant. And I think they probably do go at each other. Not a bad way. Sometimes that helps. Sometimes you can draw greatness out of that.
Von Tobel's in here with us. It's Cofield and Company. Chrissy as well. Yay. On the way back, I actually want to draw some parallels between Gallant and Belichick.
Follow the Cofield and Company crew around Sin City on Instagram. At ESPN Las Vegas.
They better draft a quarterback, because this right here, this decision with Joe Flacco, if they do not draft a quarterback, is going to be the job-defining decision for John Elway. This right here will be the decision that either keeps him employed with the Denver Broncos or ends that employment.
It's Cofield and Company in the Findlay Toyota Studios.
Since Peyton Manning, the quarterback position in Denver has been mismanaged. From a general manager perspective, bringing in talent, passing on other talent, has been miss after miss after miss. There has to be, at some point, an end to the leash.
I need love.
Oh, yeah. Valentine's Day coming up. L. Way. See how I did that? LL Cool J. Crank it up.
Wow.
You know the only problem with this video? I just want to hear the song. It's a very theatric video. Do you remember this video?
I need love.
He's arguing with the girlfriend all the time. There's a dad who's like, I'm tired of these rap guys. Ripping an LL Cool J poster off the wall.
Is it more theatric than the Hello video by Lionel Richie, which has way too much going on, including the creepiest sculptor of all time?
You like the purity of Lionel Richie? You just want to hear the songs?
Yeah.
Is that the way it works?
Yes.
We'll get to Will Cain stealing your thunder from 2 years ago. But a lot more people are getting on to this whole deal with Joe Flacco, more specifically with John Elway. Caller 11 right now, 364-1100, 364-1100. Ethel M., Chocolates and Henderson. We got a gift pack. We got Remy Martin XO Cognac Truffles 5-piece box, and then a Sorry, Von Tobel.
It's good.
Get your lady something else. This is from one of our listeners. Heart-shaped box, 14-piece with the Ethyl M chocolate, signature handcrafted chocolates. Here's the deal, fellas. If you're driving around right now, or ladies, and you're like, it's tomorrow, their store at Sunset and Sunset, or Sunset and Mountain Vista, as I like to call it, because I come from the Mountain Vista side of the tracks, is open until 10 o'clock. It's open at 8 a.m. tomorrow, and again, it's open until 10 o'clock. So get over there. There were dozens and dozens of items for under 40 bucks. Here's the other cool thing. They're also a partner with the Golden Knights. So I'll have to send out a picture of this. They've got collector's cases, boxes with VGK insignia and graphics. So, if your honey doesn't want to rip into the chocolates, they've got a collectible. So take advantage of that. But it's at Sunset and Sunset. It's Ethyl M. It's great. Great play. We were in the tasting room. How crazy was that? We did a show on Monday from the tasting room. You can book in the tasting room. You can do that on Valentine's night. You can do it the rest of the year. That's great. You can do chocolate tasting. You learn about chocolates. You can do chocolate and wine tasting.
There's the chocolate fountain.
Oh, I took a video of the chocolate fountain. I was just salivating.
There's a lot of other things there, and you've run down the great list. I will say right now, if you have not gotten the chocolate covered strawberries from there, you're probably not doing life right. My goodness.
Ethylm.com/tasting experience to book that all the way through the 16th. Yeah,
you see the size of those strawberries? Oh, I don't even know where you find those.
The double-breasted strawberries?
And then the ridiculously...
That is actually a good term for big-ass strawberries, double-breasted. Yeah.
And then the insane chocolate they put on it. I mean, it's just... That's living right there.
Decadent.
That's living! I've never heard you use that phrase! What are you doing?
That's living.
Just for Ethyl M, I love it. That's living. That actually suggests you have, like, happy moments in your life.
No.
Who'd have thunk it?
We've got to find some kind of happiness. I'm still down about getting chewed out last night.
That was good.
You did get ripped to shreds. Yeah. Although, it was interesting. NBC Sports said that a dude from The Athletic, Jesse Granger, who does a lot of stuff with us, was the one who got yelled at.
Ooh.
What's happening here?
Easy mistake. It's very nice.
I
will pass on the...
Gallant!
I don't want to be
yelled specifically at him. Good. You don't want credit for getting yelled at?
Good for NBC Sports for passing that yelling on to somebody else. I'm not one to need credit for getting yelled at, Steve.
I don't know. That was a good little... I don't call it a tirade. It wasn't long enough. It was solid. I would love to be the subject of that.
Someone also
there's been a lot of them this year already.
Oh, he's irked Gallant many times. Someone called Adam a punk for not waiting for the mic and yelling it. Yelling, yeah. Hey, what was the message?
And I had already...
Punk.
I had, by the way, already addressed that here on the show before that person even tweeted that, but it's right. It was a very weird press conference in that usually you do wait for the mic. Oh. Everybody was kind of like, after he did his original, snap, nobody
if you didn't hear the story,
was jumping
folks,
at it.
He got really angry. It was mentioned that a player mentioned that they got a message. They didn't come out of the locker room for a couple minutes, right? Or the locker room wasn't open for a couple extra minutes because it sounded like Gallant went off on him.
Yeah.
And, boy, when that was thrown at him in the press conference, Turk, as you guys like to call him, the fans, was like, who told you that? And then said, typical.
And it was such a weird moment that nobody was really asking a question or jumping at it. So I just said, well, what was your message? And that's what set him off. That's what set him off yesterday.
I will say, the fact that you did not have a mic made you sound very meek. Like,
yeah,
you're like,
oh, I agree. And I addressed that. Message? I said, yeah, I agree with that. But it was.
Well, again, God knows no one else was going
to
ask.
Yeah. And I give you credit for that because breaking that silence to ask what he was irritated about essentially with, well, what was it, man?
But it's a fair question.
It's a legit totally question.
Yeah. And I should have waited for the mic. I should have. But it was not anything. Somebody said, like, oh, you just didn't want your voice out there. No, I don't care. Watch the press conferences. Trust me. I don't care.
I had some other listeners tweeting at me saying, you know, that's a dumb question because he's never going to answer. That's not the way it works.
No. You still have to ask.
You have to ask because he might one out of 99 times. And I'll tell you the more important reason for your own self-preservation. You know why you got to ask? Because your boss requires you to ask. And if you don't do it, you're going to hear from your boss, why didn't you do your job?
Yeah.
And if you don't think that happens, You've never worked in media, which unfortunately most of the people tweeting at us, you haven't.
But can you imagine, like, reading the story as an editor? I mean, as fans, I don't think always notice, but they should. But reading a story as an editor and saying, you know, Gallant was upset that nobody or that somebody on the team told them or told the media that there was a closed door meeting and a chewing out. And people were like, well, what was he mad about? What was he yelling about? Oh, we didn't ask. Like, that's ridiculous.
Yeah. Do your job.
It's a ridiculous thing to think about.
But then
about.
The flip side is, he's not going to answer. Why are you asking?
Yeah, well, we got
to
answer.
Have it, you can't have it both ways.
Actually, he did answer. The answer was none of your business, and which is fine.
Believe me, I've heard stories, you know, when a beat changes hands, sometimes you'll notice that there are much better quotes that come from certain coaches. Because maybe they weren't asked those questions one year, and they are the next.
None of your business.
I'm not saying I ask better questions of Marvin Menzies than people have in the past. But these things happen.
Well, I wasn't even connecting that one. Huh?
Yeah, sounds like you are.
None of your business.
None of your business, Steve.
Hashtag none of your business. And you do not expect an apology for being snapped out by another adult.
No.
You are 39 years old. When are you going to stand up for yourself?
I stood up. I asked the question. I don't care what the response is.
I'll tell you what would happen. I don't know what Linda or Kurt are going to do about this. I'll tell you what would happen in my family. If Gallant snapped at me, 48 years old, being spoken, addressed like that, right? My father would... If he saw the video, laugh.
Of course.
He actually would.
My dad asked for the video already.
Yeah. My mother would tear me a new one. Be like, you pansy. I raised you to be a certain way.
Well, that's
you have no self-respect, you wimp.
I'm
just talking about my family, not the way you should behave.
I know, but in a normal social setting, I'm with you. Yeah. I wouldn't do it, but I'm with you. Let's take it to the next step.
Yeah.
Like, I grab the mic and I'm like, you want to go? Like, what should be the next?
That has happened in the past.
Right.
But, we did bring up the Tony La Russa St. Louis reporter.
Wasn't it John Chaney? Well, Chaney went after Calipari.
No, Chaney and Calipari. It's actually the anniversary of that happening when they talked about bringing in the goons and then, I'll kick your ass!
Right.
As they're charging each other. No, there's been incidents before, but there was a Bernie Miklas who, like yourself, is a big, giant fella. Tony La Russa tried to stare him down, and La Russa was trying to bully Bernie Miklas over something that the paper had done. And Bernie Miklas is like, I work for the paper. I don't make all the decisions there. And La Russa kept going, and Bernie Miklas stood up, and he's like 6'5", 400, and La Russa was like, oh, okay. Like, let's go, old man. Now, here's the problem with you.
Turk would
this guy played hockey and can fight.
He's an enforcer.
But I do believe that you should pull him aside and go, I would like an apology. My feelings are hurt.
I demand?
Not demand. Let's have some respect, you know. Has Dana White ever apologized to you for maybe
No.
Okay. Well,
no.
I thought maybe we could bring up an example that, well, you know, Dana can do it, then
he's been fine.
Gallant can do it.
He drops. We'll go at it. And
right.
Go at it is mostly him just yelling at me. But and then like
we'll go at
the
it.
The next time we talk, it's fine. But never. It's never been like, yeah, sorry about how I talked last time. That's never happened and never would.
I feel like you guys.
It seems like a guy who would do that.
John, you're also watching from a distance. I get the feeling that you guys are almost in a Belichickian position.
Ooh. In what way?
Gerard can do whatever he wants.
No. He can't. I asked him what his message was.
Right, that's the difference.
It's none of my business.
He's gotten animated like several times and given you pretty good quotes to use.
I didn't create this mess. You know that. Eh?
It's not.
Yep, I didn't create this. That was the moment. And that's part of the setup to this.
Yeah.
He's been getting increasingly more irked with you guys, and maybe not you specifically, but
mostly
others.
Me specifically.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, there is, now again, so I am watching more from the outside, but there was, the issue with the injuries, right?
Or, that was where the I didn't create this mess came from.
Kind of being a little bit misleading with what was going on with certain players.
Yeah, but there was...
Belichick in a certain nature when you list half the team on the injury report and be like, yeah, they're all questionable.
Or just say everybody's not feeling well.
Yeah.
Everybody's not feeling well, or every injury is upper body or lower body.
Yep. Well, that's an NHL thing.
Or how long did it take to find out that Halla had a serious injury?
I mean, we still haven't confirmed that it's serious. It's just weird. It's right now. It's quote weird.
Yeah,
it's a weird.
I'm not
injury.
Laughing at Halla, but I mean, I think he's.
By the way, he
had a serious injury.
Did you see the picture of Halla on the beach? He has it's one of the worst surgery scars I've ever seen in my life.
Really?
It's awful. And, like, okay, it was day-to-day for a while, and then week-to-week. Now it's month-to-month, and it's a weird injury. But, yeah, it's crazy. By the way, another one came up this week for, you know, I know people like to follow the team. Brandon Peary was scratched the two games before last night, the two previous games. Dragon said, no, he was only scratched once. He was hurt in the other game. He had a sore neck. I asked Brandon Peary how his neck was feeling, and he looked at me like I was crazy. He's like, what? I was scratched. Like, coach said you had a sore neck. No.
Boy, you are really digging a hole here, but you're doing your job.
Of course.
You're doing your job.
So, I don't know. I don't know if Brandon Peary is covering or if Gallant is covering. I don't know. Gallant is covering. I don't know. But, yes, he said that Peary had a sore neck. Brandon Peary said absolutely not.
Okay, let's.
Saw the scar?
Yeah.
Let's look ahead to August, right? Because I do believe the Patriots media is, for years, has been in the same position you guys have been in or are recently. When Gallant starts going off, everyone has to, you know, basically everyone's quiet, and then, okay, well, let's get out of here. This is uncomfortable. What's going to happen in August if anyone in the New England media starts to dig on Greg Schiano and Penn State?
Oh, boy.
Because if you don't know, Greg Schiano, the former Ohio State co-DC, former Rutgers coach, was appeared to be the Tennessee coach, but then the Twitter mob took over and got him out of there. What happens if anyone tries to start digging on the Penn State allegations from Mike McQuarrie, which essentially is like third person? It's so weird. Yeah. The whole thing is so weird. How are the Pats going to react on that one?
Run of the Jets.
I think that's what
he does that in the preseason.
Yeah,
just start talking about week one.
It's kind of the difference, right? I mean, he's not a guy that gets animated. It's just going to be, you know, we've discussed it, we've talked about it.
What if? Can you play that again?
None of your business.
That's what he's going to say.
None of your business.
He's just going to play a Gallant drop. None of your business.
I didn't create this mess. You know that.
We need.
Yeah, you can say that.
We got to get back to this for one more point. Grab bag is on the way.
Finley Toyota. They'll do anything to sell you a car. No Toyota problem is too tough, too large, or too small. Keep your Toyota running like a Toyota.
It's Cofield and Company's.
You want it? Check it out.
Grab bag.
It smells like fish in here.
Hey, don't touch that. That's nothing to play with, man.
On ESPN 1100, 100.9 FM.
Stick your hand in there, Dave.
Adam, can you make a request of the Golden Knights tomorrow to put the rest of the audio up from yesterday when Gallant was going? He didn't go off on you, but he got snippy with you. Because now, you know what? I've come to grips with it. 3 hours. You know, let's just have fun with it. So we want the typical drop, and we want the none of your business drop.
None of your business.
We should all be able to have fun with this.
Yeah, it's true.
You're not going to ask.
Yeah, I'll find out. I think I can get. I actually think I might have a clean copy.
You guys should have a clean version of it.
Yeah, I think we do.
Okay.
Journalism is fine.
Once you get a subscription so you can find it.
Yeah, I'm out of articles for the month.
It's out of my budget.
Stick your hand in there, Dave.
Okay, go ahead.
I can't.
Go ahead.
Do it.
No, because we're going to. Chrissy, I mean, you've seen this happen before, but watch these two. This is what used to happen, and it happens often now. Watch these two close the show on what league did this guy sign in?
CFL. The Toronto Argonauts.
Signed one of the best defensive tackles that are available on the market. Defensive tackle, Poop Johnson.
Wait, what?
Corey.
What's his name?
Poop Johnson.
That's his real name?
Apparently it's a nickname.
P-O-O-P Poop Johnson.
Corey Poop Johnson signed with the Toronto Argonauts of the CFL. Apparently, he is nicknamed Poop because he goes as many as, quote, five times a day.
I mean, that just sounds rough.
It just sounds like a really big inconvenience.
And yet, he's told people about this, so he must be proud of it on some level.
Oh, he's very proud. There's many stories out there about how often he uses the restroom.
I'm intrigued. I'm intrigued along John's lines. Because I want to know what his rear end tips would be.
Yeah.
How do you...
He has like a bidet or something?
He's got it, right?
He's got to be okay with public, too. I mean, you can't just stay home.
No. That's a no-go.
You can't just stay home all day.
Can we go an extra hour on the outdoor pooping?
There was an emergency at the Philly airport one time.
Yeah.
I tried really hard, and I was like, I can't. I have to. This is a nightmare.
What about on the plane?
No, I've never had to. Thank God.
I've never gone on the plane.
No.
Don't fly to Australia.
Yeah, I've said it many times. I've probably gone. Yeah, that's the worst. I've probably gone in public 10 times.
In
my life. I'm old. But one of the times I did clog up a toilet on my delivery route, and then I came back the next week, and they're like, bro,
I'm...
Then a week later, they're like, you clogged up our toilet.
Oh, good they remembered for you.
When I,
how could you not? You know how annoying that is?
By the way.
No, you're weird.
Yeah.
When I worked at Albertsons, when I had to clean the bathrooms, I would clean them really good with latex gloves, and then that was my time. Lock the door.
Well, that's smart.
Yeah. Well, that counts as public, though. You're out in the public.
Yeah, but I cleaned it. That's you know fine. What I mean? No strange cheeks.
Yeah, I mean, most days, I would say at least 6 days a week, I'm leaving my house at like 9 a.m. I'm getting home at like 3 a.m. Like, you have to be okay with it.
Nope.
No. But I wonder what
I'll
this
wait
guy,
the whole day.
He's got to have a schedule, right? Five times?
He's pretty regular.
Who are you talking about?
Huh. Hoop Johnson.
He's going to get some nice endorsement deals.
He should.
I know it's a nickname, but did they just call him Pooh for short?
No. That's a one full syllable.
Poop.
Yeah. Poop. He.
Adam, should we close with the controversy that was unfolding last week as we were leaving the building?
Yeah, he was dumped by his previous team.
Were you here?
Wait, what?
Okay, can you stop with the poop jokes, please, and the dumped? Were you here with the overflowing toilet on Friday night at like 6:30?
I was here, yeah. You told me about it. I think you did it.
I did not do it. I actually have proof. Really? I want them to check the cameras. We don't have cameras in the bathroom.
Yeah.
But yeah, I went, I urinated in the toilet, as my dad would say, and it just started overflowing. It was a flood.